We've been talking about changes, all different types of change, really. Last week we talked about forgiveness, but forgiveness is kind of a part two, because what happens is when we hold unforgiveness, we're exposed to bitterness. And we need to talk about bitterness in our lives and what it's like to live with this bitterness. What does the Bible say about bitterness? So, just in short, to explain it, it says, bitterness is a devastating mental attitude that gives ground to hatred, cruelty, self-pity, unteachableness, vindictiveness, a desire for revenge, prideful ambition. And this mindset causes many problems in our lives and in our relationships. And a bitter person and a bitter mindset is his worst enemy, right? When we carry this bitterness in our lives and we allow it to fester and we live with this every day, it becomes our own enemy. But we're housing it, right? How can I house my own enemy, right? I mean, you think about that. You know, the Bible says a house divided cannot stand. So we're trying to succeed. We're pushing ourselves to make the right decisions. We're moving in the right direction, but we're housing things that tear us apart. And any of us, you know, being guilty of cruelty, self-pity, unteachableness, vindictiveness, and revenge. Who's guilty of this last week? I'm guilty. Amen. Right? Look at the mentors. Raise their hand. Right? Can anybody else be honest? Who's guilty of these things? So this is an indication to tell me where my heart is. It's an indication to tell me where I'm at, right? It's a spiritual map to understand what am I really functioning in, right? Because I can make it sound real good. I can tell you exactly what you want to hear, but it's what I do that matters. It's what's coming out of me that tells me where I really am in my life. So if I'm watching myself angry, you know, revengeful, remorseful, and I'm carrying this bitterness in my life, then I need to look at that and isolate it and eventually eliminate it. Amen? Amen. So the Greek word for this is pikros. And pikros is bitter. It's sharp, pointed, penetrating to the senses. It's a rank smell or a shrill noise. Anybody allergic to fingernails on the chalkboard? Right? I am. I can't stand that noise. You just rip, get me every time. Or something nasty that's real bitter and you eat it and you can't take it. That's picrios. But picria is the bitterness of taste and plants, but it's found mostly in personal experience. And the funny thing is, in the versions of the Old Testament, 40 times in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, It refers to this pikros and pikria, right? So it's the literal bitterness of what it is, but it doesn't explain it as a bitter term. The only time you'll see it is in Exodus 15, where it talks about bitter water, but it's usually in reference to men as the bitter ones. So, and it's funny that the Bible uses this reference to talk about a person's, you know, modus operandi, you know, their mode of common behavior, their common conduct, you know, and I thought about this for a while. It's like everybody has that relative or that friend that's always just will negative Nancy you to death and you can't take it, man. You just can't, you know, you try to penetrate that negativity, but no matter what you do, they're burning. You know, and they're going to burn you too. You don't put that light of God on there. You know, but this is what he's talking about. But it's such a deeper thing when we allow it to fester and grow. The pikroi is that they are sour and cruel, like in Ruth 1:20. Naomi present the name of Mara as bitter, and Habakkuk 1:6 is fierce, impetuous people. They're passionately evil. But you see, None of us inherently really think of ourselves that way, right? Like in our mindset, we like to think of ourselves, well, I'm a good guy. You know, I do good things. I feed people once in a while. I do things. Man, I saw my neighbor broke down. I gave him some gas money or whatever. You know, I gave to the church. I went to church once. You know what I mean? I'm a pretty good guy. But we don't think about the real repercussions of allowing this negativity to live in our life and what that turns out to be. Because it's growing. What Pastor Charles said, he said, you can knock the bud over, but when it's an oak tree, what are you going to do with it? Right? There's many of us guys in here that are pretty stout, right? We're pretty tough. We've been through a lot. How many of us can pull a tree out of the ground? Right? So think about that as this negativity in our lives. In biblical examples, the Old Testament has divine discipline and chastisement caused bitterness. But it demonstrates the weakness and the failure of the people because it says that it's their own bitterness that destroyed their spiritual lives, bringing self-destruction. Examples, Lamentations 1:1-6, Isaiah 33, 2 Kings 14, Exodus 1:12-14. We can't really share those because of our time constraint today, but I'm going to break that down or at least paraphrase the idea that as people, we don't like constructive criticism. You know, we don't like to be constructively criticized. We like to be in charge. We want to know that what we're doing is exactly right and I'm all good and I got this under control. You don't need to tell me nothing right now, right? Because the minute you start telling me something, then I feel like you're chopping me down. But if it's a pastor or a mentor or a church or a God that's telling me this, then this is the time that I need to remain teachable because this is the time that I can change for the better, for the good. Amen? For the long term. This is the one time that I have to open my mind and consider my own self. Amen? Put my own self on the table and say, when the Scripture does not agree with what I'm doing, then it's me who needs to change. Amen? And it's my brother who loves me, who tells me, not pointing his finger at me for what I did wrong, but holding his hands out in love and saying, we need to grow, we need to change this. That's when I got to take hold of that. Amen? Right? There's a difference. There's a difference in this. And pointing that out and understanding that, isolating it, putting it on the table and being teachable is an important thing in dealing with bitterness. So it says in Deuteronomy, suffering causes bitterness to those who do not accept the Lord's problem-solving devices, principles, and refusing to accept His divine guidance or give Him the glory. So what's happening is we come about trials in our lifetime and where our decisions have caused us to suffer. Anybody experience that? Amen? Right? We made some decisions in life that made us suffer from those decisions. Now there's two angles. We can take these problems and we can put them on the table. We can say, what is God telling me to do about this? And how can I deal with this through Scripture? Or am I going to just keep listening to Ben? Because he's going to keep making more problems. He's going to keep making more excuses. He's going to keep doing more time. Amen? Right? I know him. He did it. I've done it. Right? Yes or no? Right? And that's what he's saying here. But he's saying the thing is, when we're chastised from our mistakes, the worst thing we can do is run from God. But that's the first thing we want to do. Because we're mad, right? Don't talk to me right now. I don't want to hear that. Don't want to come at me. I don't want to hear that right now. But that's the answer, see? Why? Because it says, a man runs away to seek his own desires. You know, I mean that's the whole thing. I mean where God and then he goes is the hand of God so short that he can't reach? But it's not. It's me running away. Right? So the farther I run down that tunnel after whatever it is, the longer God is stretching out his hand to reach me through my brothers and sisters and circumstances and places and things that I find myself into, and only eventually I can either accept it or deny it. Amen. I can either turn and accept that hand and start moving back through the ground and face what I built for myself and then get it up, get it right. Or I can keep going down the rabbit tunnel. I had another friend die Saturday from long-term drug addiction. He was a good friend of mine. Known him my whole life. He's dead. Right? Lived a whole life. Sad story from the very beginning of the story all the way up to the very end of the story. I'll tell you what. I don't want that to be my story, amen. And I found out that putting the Scripture in my life writes a new avenue. And that's what we're talking about today, amen? So we need to isolate these things and focus on these things in our lives because there are absolute repercussions at hand. He says, ridicule is a source of bitterness. Many times when truth is taught, people react with bitterness. You know, and we talked about that. I don't want to hear that right now, you know, but that's sad because first and foremost, if I'm hearing a truth that's being shared to me, and it's making sense to me, but my body's resisting it. I have to ask myself, why? What part of me is resisting that truth? Amen? Is that the part of me I want to take home to my babies, my wife? Amen? Is that the part of me that wants to build my future? In Acts, the New Testament, it says human pride is a cause of bitterness. Pride is the downfall for the majority of us men in general anyway, right? I mean, right? Amen, right? I mean, I don't even have to spend too much time on that verse. You know, I mean, we know, you know, I mean, I'm a gorilla. You can't tell me nothing.
I'm right.
Yeah. In James 3:11-18, he says, when we hold these forms of bitterness, it causes us to become guilty of hypocrisy. Hence the verse 16, for when jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder of every evil thing. So what he's pointing out is, us guys who are trying to walk the walk, who are trying to turn that new leaf, who are accepting the direction of Christ, who are allowing this bitterness to live within us, are failing because there's selfish ambition and disorder in our lives. So where we make these great gains, we find ourselves taking setbacks as well. You know? So it's like we take 31 steps forward, 18 steps back. 31 steps forward, 18 steps back. Some of us have been doing this our whole life. Amen, right? Run good for 6 months, 6 years, wham, hit the wall, start over again. Okay, yeah, I trust you, Dale. I trust you, Ben. We're going to start over again. Get everybody's trust, screw it up again. You know what I mean? That's the way of the world, though. You see, the more I put my faith in God, the more consistent I become, the less of that roller coaster I got to experience. It's not going to be pretty. It may not be easy. Amen. And sometimes you got to face those things to get back through those things to get back on top of that again. So that we're not going to set ourselves up to ride down the hill again. Let's talk about it. Ephesians 4:31 says, bitterness itself needs to be removed and viewed as sin cosmetically. James, he says, and then he goes on and tells us to allow disorder in our life. But what are the results from bitterness? You know? So let's put it on the table. If I'm allowing this unforgiveness to live in my life, if I'm allowing bitterness to live in my life, if I'm allowing resentfulness to live in my life, what are the results of that? In my first verse from 14, or Proverbs 14:10, says, the heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. For the house of the wicked will be destroyed, and the tent of the upright will flourish. For there is a way which seems right to a man, but the end of the way is death. I want to think about this. He says, for the heart knows its own bitterness. Who in here right now doesn't know about their own bitterness? Who's unaware of it? Yes or no? Is anybody not aware of their own struggles that they carry with them day in, day out, and haven't let go of it? Amen? He says, the heart's aware of your own bitterness, right? So if I'm aware of it, then why aren't I tilling that ground? Amen? Why aren't I on my knees in the closed room talking to God saying, hey, these are the things that I'm aware of right now. These are the things that I'm dealing with right now, amen, that I want to get up and off the table because I'm aware of it. But see, it says there's a way which seems right to a man, but the end of the way is death. And that's the whole thing, that when I rely on my physical decisions, I'm astray from the direction of the path of God. You know, that's the whole thing. As I continue to follow my own experience, my own thoughts, everything I think is right, and I don't compare that to Scripture, then I'm leading myself down that wrong direction. And the end of that way is death. And that's plain writing right here. My next text is Jeremiah 2:19. He says, your own wickedness will correct you. Amen? Right? Yes or no? It corrected me. When I hit the wall, amen, praise God for being patient. But he says, your own wickedness will correct you, and your apostasies will reprove you. Now know, therefore, and see the evil and bitterness, for
for you to forsake the Lord your God, and the dread of me is not in you, declares the Lord of hosts. So what he's telling them is, as you continue to move forward with all of the direction of what the world has to offer you, except for God, you're building up this reward. Amen? He said, your own wickedness will correct you. Because in verses from last week, he said they'll be satiated with their own devices. Satiated means filled to the glutton. Amen? That means so stuffed full that you can't fit anything in me anymore of my own devices. So the more I seek after my addiction, the more I seek after my unforgiveness, the more I allow this bitterness to live in my life, is the more of it I have to face in the world. Amen? But that's not what I want. Is that what you want? That's not what I want. I don't want to wake up tomorrow and do my regular, I hate my alarm clock, I hate my job, I hate my car, I hate these kids, I hate the... You know what I'm saying? But I lived that life before. I mean, we've lived that life before. You know, but God has the power to take that away, where you wake up and you say, thank God I got a bed today. Thank God I got breakfast today. Thank God I got a job today. Amen? Thank God I got that car today. Because that mindset of Christ is on the upside. You see, and perspective is the strength to change it all, because the battlefield is in the mind, and that's what the devil uses. The devil's going to come at us in our heads, because if I can destroy you now and stop you from trying, then I got you already. But if God gives you a taste of how great it can be, I'll lose you forever. So I'm going to put all my stops out. I'm sending all your homies over. I'm going to send that beautiful diva to your house. Amen? I'm going to roll out the red carpet, and I'm going to offer it all, because I don't want you to get away from me. Because I got you already. But when you turn to the Lord, now you're on my radar. Now I got to shoot you. Amen? Yeah. Right? Think about it. I wish we had some more time. In Job, he says, while another dies with a bitter soul, never tasted anything good. That's like my buddy. And it makes me sick when I think about it. And I think about us. And I think, how many of us have never, ever really had a chance to truly taste the greatness of the Lord? And let me ask you this today. If you haven't, do you deserve to? Do you deserve to if you haven't? Amen? The Lord says you do. The Lord says no matter who you are, or what you've done, or where you've been, you deserve to taste that greatness of God. Amen? So, bitterness accompanies us unto death, and it eats us our entire lives if we don't remove it. It's a virus. In 7:10 and 10:1, in Job, he says, I loathe my own life. I will give full vent to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. And it just says that bitterness causes constant complaining. So if we're in a time in our lives today, this is a great warning for us that if the things that are coming out of my mouth are always negative, or I'm always complaining, or I'm always been the downside, then I got to catch myself today and just shut up. Amen? Because it's better to be quiet than to speak negativity, is it not? Because David said, I will hold my mouth as if with a muzzle in the presence of the wicked. He said, like I got a muzzle on, I'm not going to allow negativity come from my mouth, because he reaps what he sows. Amen? And I'm not going to sow negativity. So if I got to just shut up, it's better for me to be quiet than it is for me to build negativity in my future. Psalm 64, verse 3. Somewhere in here. Because of your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. And I'm reading the wrong verse. 64 verse 3. He said, who have sharpened their tongue like a sword and aimed with bitter speech of their arrow to shoot the concealment and blameless. Subtly they shoot at him and they do not fear. They hold fast to themselves for evil purpose, and they talk of laying snares secretly. They say, who can see them? They deserve injustices, saying, we are ready with a well-conceived plot, for will invade the thought, the heart of the man deep. But God will shoot at them with an arrow, and suddenly they will be wounded. What he's talking about is bitter people aiming against Christian people or good people or a good person, and allowing bitterness in their lives. And you see the end result of bitterness is that when we're trying to do the right thing and they're aiming at us, God's aiming at them. Amen? Amen.
So you understand that even though we're turning the toll right now, many people are going to turn on you. Oh, that ain't real, that jailhouse religion. He ain't got that right now. I knew he was going to fail. I've been waiting for that to happen, blah, 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 blah. And they pull back all them arrows and shoot all they want. But the one thing you're not going to do is shoot back. Because you know who's got your back? God's got your back. Amen. God's shooting at them. You don't have to worry about them. If you fall down, some righteous man falls down seven times, what? Gets back up how many times? Seven more times. Amen. Righteous man falls down seven times. Seven times he gets up. Amen. I want to hear you say it. Seven times he gets up. No matter how many times you knock me down, I will get up. No matter what you say to me, no matter what you do to me, I keep my faith in God. I'll stumble, but I'm getting up. Amen. I failed yesterday, but you can't make me fail today because I got faith in Christ. Amen. No matter what you shoot at me, because God's got you in His radar. Amen. All right. Let me see where we can leave off. I hate to come to an end without running out of time, but Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness is springing up, causing trouble, that it may be defile you. So the root of bitterness, holding resentment and anger and contentment, is self-induced misery, and the outcome is sin and depression. Amen. But who's going to sign up for more sin and depression? Right? But he's saying that allowing this bitterness in my life is creating this. So recovery, amen. Isaiah says, behold, bitterness became deliverance to me. Bitterness became deliverance to me. For in your love you have delivered my soul out of the pit of destruction. For you have cast all my sins behind my back. Amen. And when you think about this power, this verse and what he's talking about, Ephesians 1:8 says, wisdom is knowledge practically applied through the understanding of biblical doctrine. It's insight. And prudence is the practical use of applied Bible truths in making decisions and problem solvings. So if we take wisdom, biblical wisdom, and prudence, and we put these two together, that combines the antidote to this negativity in our lives. Amen? So we get wisdom, knowledge practically applied through understanding biblical doctrine. When I hear the word, what does it mean to me? How am I going to apply it? And prudence is the practical use of the applied biblical truth in making my decisions. I'm facing something today. What does God say about it? What does my mentor say about it? What does my pastor say about it? What is the church saying about it? Where is my spiritual guidance? Amen. And when I put those two things together, I can alleviate this negativity in my life and gain this new direction. Amen. Personal sin leads to bitterness. So the key to removing it is confession, and a daily confession to move on. And if not, we will build in us and it'll cloud our joy, drain our spiritual energy, and destroy our productivity, and ending in depression and guilt. The cycle of sin versus the divine cycle of faith. And John, he says, when you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? Amen. To forgive us. And my question today is, who is ready for this? Amen. I want to hear you. Are you ready for this? Right? Yes or no? I'm ready for this. I don't want this in my life. I don't want to suffer anymore. Amen. So he said, confess your sin. You don't have to come and say nothing to me. But tonight when you go home, you got a bedroom. Shut that door, get on your knees and say, God, I don't even know how to bring this to you, but this is what I'm dealing with right now. And I don't know if you're listening to me, but I'm going to put it on the table and I'm going to give it to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to believe, oh Lord, that you're with me right now. These are my issues. This is what I'm dealing with. Give me the strength and the wisdom and the courage to face this and help me turn a new leaf. Amen. And that's how you confess that. And then when I confess that, tomorrow when I wake up, when that sin calls my cell phone, when that sin knocks on my door, when that person gets in my way on the highway, amen, right? I got to drive. So you know, new guys, you'll get it later on. I've got a little road rage we're dealing with. But when that sin presents itself in my life, I prayed about it. So then my mind reverts back to giving that to God and looking for that strength. Amen? Amen? All right, that's it for today. Let's pray.